Now, it's The Six with the Gary Parrish Show.
Four-time NBA All-Star who is currently the head coach of his alma mater, the University of Memphis. I'm, of course, talking about Penny Hardaway. Please make him the big interview.
Award-winning writers, athletes, coaches, the biggest names in sports. It's the Gary Parrish Show Big Interview. Presented by Fleming's Prime Steakhouse and Wine Bar. Using food and wine to create memorable times.
Penny, it's Gary. How you been, man?
I've been doing good. How about yourself?
Everything's all right, relatively speaking. We're all living in a crazy world, but I'm getting by okay. I want to talk to you about a variety of things, but let's start with The Last Dance. I know you're watching it. The same way all of us are watching on Sunday night, and you're actually in multiple episodes. How much are you enjoying it?
I'm enjoying it a lot because, obviously, I knew the outside of it, the games and the competition side of it, but not knowing what was going on the inside and finally seeing that right now, it's been pretty intriguing. It's been pretty, shocking in some areas, and it's been pretty cool in a lot of areas as well.
Hey, listen, you know Michael Jordan and have known him for a long time. Most of us have never seen this side of him where he is talking so candidly and casually and colorfully. Are you surprised at all that he decided to sit down and speak about whether it's Clyde Drexler or Gary Payton more recently to talk in the way that I'm sure you've heard him talk before, but the general public has never seen or heard this side of Michael Jordan. Are you surprised he's talking as candidly as he's talking about you know, his entire career and the people he competed against?
Yeah, I am a little shocked because he's more private than that, because, you know, Michael has never opened up about how he feels personally about people. He usually does it in private. So I am shocked that he agreed to The Last Dance. But I think with the timing of, you know, some things that are going on negatively in our country with the pandemic and COVID-19, that he was like, you know what, we can go ahead and release it. This is the perfect time to release it now during this time. And I appreciate it. I'm sure a ton of people appreciate him doing that because it's given us a different side of who he is.
Yeah, it's been fun to watch. I'm talking to Penny Hardaway here, head coach, University of Memphis. I guess I had forgotten this until I heard you say it on the Uninterrupted podcast, which I watched last night and was terrific, by the way. But yeah, you were great on there. The whole thing was great. But when you entered the NBA, Michael was playing baseball. So you didn't play against him in an NBA game until March 24th, 1995. It was his third game back. You had 22.6 assists, 5 rebounds in that game. Michael got 21. What do you remember about that experience?
Well, you know, I was excited because I finally had the opportunity to play against the greatest of all time. And I remember going to the game saying, if you go out here and lay an egg, you're going to lose his respect. And I just said, whatever you do, make sure you gain your respect. That's all I was saying. Gain your respect from him tonight. And I went out there and played my heart out.
And then you fast forward to that same season. You're in the playoffs. And this is the season where you eliminate the Chicago Bulls from the playoffs. You are, by the way, the starting point guard on the last team to ever eliminate a Michael Jordan Bulls team from the playoffs, because obviously he then goes on to win 3 more championships and never made it to the playoffs in Washington. But you guys win game one. Michael has a turnover at the end of game one, misses a shot, and afterward your teammate Nick Anderson explains that number 45 is not number 23. What did you think when you heard Nick say that?
I didn't like it one bit. You don't wake up sleeping dogs, man. We know Michael Jordan is Michael Jordan. Obviously, he wasn't the same at that point because he was just trying to get himself worked back into playing basketball. It was kind of like one of those last-minute decisions, like you saw on the Last Dance. B.J. Armstrong talked him into coming into practice and started riling him up like, you don't have it anymore. He knew what buttons to push on Michael. Then all of a sudden, Michael comes back. But when we got the steal, and I took it down and threw the ball to Horace, and we got the dunk, and then he comes back and turns it over, he basically just poured the fire on the fuel on the fire with Michael, and Michael came out with 23 the very next game, and they beat us. So I didn't like when Nick made that comment.
No, he comes out in game two after. It's amazing. Like, I've forgotten all of this, but, like, I can't imagine how big of a storyline this would all be in the era of social media. Like, Michael Jordan comes back from baseball. He's wearing number 45. He doesn't have a good game one. Nick Anderson says number 45 is not number 23. Next game, he comes out in number 23 and then puts 38 on you guys. It's just the whole thing is pretty remarkable. And then, if I've got it right, in game three, that's when he comes out wearing your Air Flight Ones. Is that correct?
Yes.
Yeah. I can't imagine what that's like to see Michael Jordan wearing your shoes. What was it like to see Michael Jordan walk out on the court to play against you wearing your shoes?
I always looked at Michael's feet like, you know, like when he came back to see if he was going to wear something new because I'm a sneakerhead and what was going on. And I looked and I was like, there's no way he has those on. And then I walked closer and was like, wow, he has on my shoes. Like, that gave me the ultimate respect, you know, respect. Like, okay, I've earned my respect for Michael. Even though we're in the playoffs, he's going to wear my shoe against me. And, man, I just couldn't believe it. But it was something that when we beat them in that series, it was something that I would say, man, I don't know if we'll ever see Michael wear another shoe on his own. And he has. That was pretty cool.
I'm talking to Penny Hardaway here on 92.9 FM ESPN. Obviously, I'm with you. Like, Nick should have never said that out loud. But even Michael has acknowledged in this documentary he was not himself in that 1995 season. Like, he still needed time to get back in basketball shape. And I saw, again, on that podcast last night, you pointed out that, like, you would never have said that out loud, but you noticed he wasn't the same Michael Jordan in that year because I think the way you put it was a lot of the stuff he would normally dunk, he was laying in instead of dunking. And that was just one way that you could tell he's not quite in basketball shape the way he normally is just yet.
Yeah, for sure. You could tell, like, the burst on the moves. He still, what he accomplished coming back from baseball and coming right into basketball without having a training camp, without having games under his belt and just trying to pull it together, is still phenomenal within itself. But he was not the same. He could put together a game, maybe a game or two in a series instead of every game being sharp. He didn't have the explosiveness, and we knew that. And we just tried to use our youth and length against him and wear him down.
I'm talking to Penny Hardaway, head coach of the University of Memphis. Let's talk about your program a little bit. Landers Nolley is committed to you. Obviously, we were all hoping, or at least a lot of us were hoping, you and I are on the same page on this, that there would be a transfer waiver rule change that allowed everybody to gain immediate eligibility after they transferred. It now looks like that's not going to happen. So if Landers is going to get a waiver, he's going to have to get it in a more traditional way. How optimistic are you about that?
I'm very optimistic about it because, you know, waivers are really funny. We've had an opportunity to go after two of them, and neither one of them worked, Lance Thomas and Isaiah Stokes. And we thought Isaiah Stokes should have been a slam dunk. Florida took his scholarship and gave it to Kerry Blackshear. He came home to an ailing grandmother, and those waivers are usually passed and never got passed. And then Lance Thomas, obviously, was because Rick Pitino had gotten fired and he relocated. But on Landers, it just depends on how the NCAA is feeling. You know, it depends on if they're going to have the committee that looks at those. I don't know how they view them, I've seen guys get eligible, like David Wingett got eligible when he transferred. Antoine Jones did. So it's a toss-up right now, and we're just being very optimistic about the outcome since we've been unsuccessful thus far, but we're hoping to be successful on that one.
Yeah, I've been following these transfers for years, and there is no rhyme or reason to why some of them get granted and others don't. It's confusing, hard to understand, and it's why I wish they just get rid of the process altogether and allow everybody to play immediately. Hypothetical, Landers Nolley does not get a waiver to play immediately. Do you think he'll be a sit-out transfer or pursue other opportunities?
I think he'll be a sit-out transfer, you know, from what his father is saying. I think he'll be here, go through the year, and see where it goes from there. I don't think he'll try to go do anything hasty, you know, just because he didn't get he wasn't eligible. I think he'll take advantage of being with us, being in practice, working on his game and doing things of that nature and getting ready for the following season.
And I know you're still recruiting. What does recruiting look like for you right now? A lot of FaceTime, Zoom calls, text messaging? Is it just nonstop computer and phone stuff?
It's nonstop computer and phone stuff. We're doing Zoom calls every day. We have a different kid lined up on Zoom calls. I FaceTime call a bunch of kids and obviously regular calls. And it's been fun for me because you have the time now to do all of that. You know, they're not out. We're not out. So you're going to catch a kid at home and you're able to talk to them on a daily basis if you want to, and, you know, get them to know your program and get to know more about them and then get to know more about who you are as a coach person.
Has it helped, you think, you being a presence in The Last Dance? Because it's a reminder to, you know, an 18-year-old who didn't see you play at the height of your career, you know, they see you there. Maybe they jump on YouTube. You've got incredible YouTube highlights, as you know. I would imagine that everybody's watching this. Just you popping up every now and then has got to be helpful in some way.
It is very helpful because, you know, everyone's eyes are all on The Last Dance. And even if you didn't see me play, a lot of the kids didn't see Michael Jordan play. They just heard about the myth and the legend. But just to be a part of that, the kids will see that and go, wow. That gives us publicity here at the school. It gives me more recognition with the kids. Obviously, their parents knew who I was. But for the kids to see that is definitely big for us here at the university.
I'm wrapping up here with Penny Hardaway, head coach of the University of Memphis. Last thing before I let you go, I know you watched Ozark and loved it. What television show are you binging right now, if you are binging one?
Man, I am looking at, I started watching the show Ruthless.
Okay.
And I just finished watching Waco. Waco was unbelievable. I did watch the entire series of Ozark for sure. But right now, it's more, I just finished Waco and now I'm on the show Ruthless.
Okay. I started Waco. I haven't finished it yet, but I actually, you know, I remember all of that when it happened. So I'm definitely, like, I've got it programmed in. I just got to go hit continue watching, and I'll knock that one out as well. But you dug Ozark, right? Like, I had never watched it. I watched it on about 3 weeks. It's a fun show.
It is. You know, it starts off slow in a way, and then all of a sudden, it just when he goes to the Ozarks, it just gets it gets very, very, very wild. So, yeah, I really enjoy watching it. They did a great job on that.
That is Penny Hardaway, head coach of the University of Memphis. Penny, I really appreciate you being here, and hopefully, fingers crossed, we're going to start this next college basketball season on time and get back to some sense of normalcy, because I know this country we're living in right now, this is not that much fun.
No, we're trying to get through it together, but hopefully, like you said, this will get back to normalcy as fast as possible.
All right. That's Penny Hardaway. I appreciate you, buddy. I'll see you soon, hopefully.
All right, thank you.
All right, take care.
Thank
Penny
you.
Hardaway, bye-bye. Head coach at the University of Memphis. The stuff that just pops up in The Last Dance and then you start researching it, like, it's really, really interesting stuff. Like that playoff series in 95. I didn't remember Nick Anderson saying number 45 is not number 23. Basically saying, like, this is not the same Michael Jordan. Like hey, the Michael Jordan pre-baseball, that was a monster. This guy is 45 is not 23. And Penny was like, oh no, why did you say that? Very next game, yeah. Jordan comes out and puts 38 on.
So I'm sure you watched the uninterrupted
sure.
video. Okay. I thought it was fascinating that Penny, because we've seen people over the past couple days say, well, Michael Jordan averaged, you know, 30-something points in that series, so you can't say that the series that they lost to the
right.
Magic, so you can't say that his legs weren't underneath. Penny said that on his own in
right.
that interview. Like, he made that point that Jordan didn't have his legs
sure.
and didn't have the burst in that series. I thought that was interesting.
Right, like what Nick Anderson said was true. It was true. It's just probably not the type of thing you say out loud.
Right.
Because literally next game, Michael throws on number 23, puts 38 on you, and then in game three, that's when he wears Penny Hardaway's shoes, which I guess would have been, as Penny noted, just an incredible thing. The greatest basketball player of all time, somebody you looked up to, you're in a playoff series against him, and he's wearing your shoes. What?
Yeah, I'd love to hear. I know that, like, you know, this documentary is about Jordan. I'd love to hear what Jordan's thoughts are on Penny just with the shoe game and everything, because they talked about that in one of the previous episodes. And obviously, Penny's got one of the biggest shoe brands going next to Jordan. So it'd be interesting to hear, you know, what he thinks about it.
Well, I read a story about all of that. And as Penny tells the story, like, Michael had made it known while he was playing baseball. Like, he called Penny the kid. And he was like, the kid is, he's going to, you know, he's special.
Mm-hmm.
He's a different deal. Like, he's going to be something in this league. And, like, you got to remember, by 95, it's only Penny's second season in the NBA, and he's an NBA All-Star.
Yeah.
I mean, second-team All-NBA. Like, they contrast that with, like, second-year players are almost never All-NBA, you know, and yet that's exactly what Penny was. And you go back and watch those YouTube videos, man, he was a different deal. I mean, he was special. And then, you know, he got robbed. You know, health issues just robbed him of his incredible, transcendent ability, because there's not a doubt in my mind or anybody else's mind. If Penny doesn't start having, you know, physical issues, he's a Hall of Famer. Like, he's considered,
no question.
It's not even close. he's a Hall of Famer and considered an all-time great. I mean, he was just robbed, you know, of his ability to do the things that he could do. But when he could do them, he did them at an incredibly high level consistently, and he did it very, very early in his career. So that was Penny Hardaway, head coach of the University of Memphis. And if you're looking for a news item out of that, he said that he's optimistic Landers Nolley will get a waiver to play immediately, but he also believes that if Landers Nolley is asked to sit out by the NCAA, that he will be a sit-out transfer. There had been some speculation in various places that he might just pursue professional opportunities if he's not granted a waiver to play immediately, and he might. Like, things could change. We'll see. Mm-hmm. But for whatever it's worth, Penny Hardaway thinks that if Landers Nolley has to sit out, he will just sit out.
Don't miss the Gary Parish Show tomorrow at 4 p.m. on 92.9 FM ESPN.